Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Professor Barry Shoup, he's the former executive director at the NICD and professor emeritus of virology at Wits University. He joins us right now. How are you, Professor?
Very well, thank you, Kathy. How are you doing?
Okay, thanks. I'm just working on being Mashiach, but you know, they say when a man when a man can't get the job right, send a woman in. Anyhow.
There you go. Prof, I read the topic today and I was just astounded that we even have to talk about this. The fact that there are increasing reports of poisoning from people who are overzealous because they're obsessively disinfecting because of COVID anxiety. Is this a phenomenon, COVID anxiety?
It is indeed. And in fact, COVID-19 has really taught us a tremendous amount about human beings, that really human beings are complex organisms and human behavior responding to challenges is so complex. On this morning's Life in the New Normal show, I had a general practitioner, Dr. Daniel Israel, on, and we discussed the spectrum of behavior, which ranges widely from COVID denial and bravado, a la President Trump and Bolsonaro of Brazil, all the way through to COVID anxiety neurosis, a morbid fear of COVID, and that leading to anxiety and obsessive behavior. So I'm hearing of people coming home. They have to go to the shops very, very briefly and come home, changing clothes, showering, washing down the shopping bags, washing down vegetables.
Are you calling me neurotic?
Sorry?
Are you calling me neurotic? I do that.
You do that. Okay. Well, yeah, I think most people don't, the majority of people. But what it has led to is that people going overboard. And there have been increased reports of poisoning to various poison centers. I'll just quote from a recent kind of publication from the Center for Disease Control in the United States. Now, they've got a division called the National Poison Data System of the CDC. And they've noticed quite a severe, quite a marked increase of various, mainly poisoning in children that get hold of these disinfectants. But also, I'll quote one case. It's an interesting one, just to illustrate what I was saying. An adult woman heard on the news to clean all recently purchased groceries before consuming them. So she filled a sink with a mixture of 10%, which is very high, bleach solution, vinegar and hot water, and soaked her produce. While cleaning her other groceries, she noted a noxious smell described as chlorine. To cut a long story short, she was hospitalized in the emergency department with mild hypoxemia, end expiratory wheezing, et cetera, et cetera. She survived, but you know, this is the kind of thing which is happening, which is being reported on in the States.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just try to reiterate, you know, the major route of infection of COVID is inhalation of infected droplets. And that occurs when you come close by physically, physical non-distance between less than 6 feet away from somebody that is infected, that is generating these droplets and inhaling droplets. The contamination via surfaces and so on is very much a second or a third or a fourth. One should be obviously careful. You're coming from outside into your home to wash your hands thoroughly. But I think to kind of go overboard and disinfecting vegetables, disinfecting shopping bags really is not necessary.
Okay, but
I think you've got to be very careful of these disinfectants. You know, particularly things like bleach. Not to make it too concentrated. You know, half a cup and 5 liters of water is more than enough if one does have to clean something which is contaminated. Importantly, not to mix bleach with any other chemicals, because that's how it generates these noxious chemicals like chlorine.
Yeah.
And importantly, have good ventilation, so you don't have it in a closed, confined space where the chlorine can build up. And very importantly, to store these disinfectants in a safe place away from children.
Okay, so Professor Shoup, maybe this is something that we can talk about tomorrow. But I actually saw something that Lancet Laboratories have put up and in all of their laboratories, and it is the persistence of coronavirus on surfaces. So it lasts on plastic for 5 days. It lasts on aluminium for 2 to 8 hours. On metal, I mean, if you think of metal taps, steel, 48 hours. Door handles, it'll also be 48 hours. I mean, these are the kind of things that are making me disinfect my groceries. Because you don't know who walked past that bread packet.
I can talk about in detail tomorrow. I can carry on now.
What do you think, Sam? We've got time, right?
We do have time.
Okay. So can you talk about it now? That would be amazing.
Yeah. You know, they have done experiments on virus survival. When we talk about virus survival, it's not to demonstrate the virus, because the normal diagnostic test is called a PCR that demonstrates fragments of the virus. What we want to really establish, if there's a transmission of infection, is the virus alive? Is it active? And that you have to do a fairly cumbersome test called virus isolation. Now, they've demonstrated virus on various surfaces. You can divide them up basically into porous and non-porous. The non-porous are plastic and steel and varnished wood, for example. The porous surfaces are cardboard, plastic, material, and so on. On a porous surface, the virus won't survive longer than about 24 hours. After 24 hours, you can't really demonstrate viable virus. On the non-porous surfaces, the steels, the plastic, the glass, and so on, virus can survive up to 72 hours. Now, having said that, the amount of virus, even on the non-porous, on the steels and so on, it drops tremendously. So really, from a practical point of view, it probably doesn't last longer than about 24 hours. Also, you've got to remember that the way that it's going to be transmitted, there's a technical term, we call it fomites. That's the transmission in non-living things like surfaces and metal and glass and wood and so on. The transmission by fomites, it goes through a certain sequence. You've got to touch this with your hand, because people don't go around licking these things. Touch it to your hands, contaminate your hand, and then touch the mucous membrane of either eyes, nose, or mouth. So it's quite a kind of circuitous thing. If you just simply wash your hands with soap, ordinary soap, ordinary detergent will inactivate the virus. So the bottom line is, yes, you do have to be careful. If your hands are the vehicles that transmit the virus. So you've got to wash your hands very frequently when you're coming from the outside into your home. You've got to sanitize your hands when you go into a shop. Sanitize your hand when you come out of a shop. That is important. And also avoid touching eyes, nose, and mouth, because that's how the virus gets in. It cannot get in through the hands, and viruses don't move. So if you touch your cheek or your ear, it's not going to crawl around your face to get into your nose or into your eyes. It's when you actually touch the mucous membrane that you can inoculate it. And that's why it's probably really a second line of transmission. Much more important is physical distance and masks, because it's the inhalation which is the main way in which it is transmitted.
And there you have it. Professor Barry Shoup, thank you so much. Thanks for explaining that. Even pleasure. I can understand it. Have a wonderful evening. We'll chat to you tomorrow.
Thank you. And you too. Thanks, Kathy.
God bless. Thank you. Bye-bye.